KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have mostly or to partly cloudy skies here and a temperature of 66 degrees at the KJN studios. We look for a high of 88 here today under partly cloudy skies. Tonight, increasing clouds and a low of around 55. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. An Iowa legislative panel has approved several proposals by Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate to alleviate a last-minute crunch on Election Day. The Iowa Legislative Council will let voters use a driver's license for their identification, even if it expired this year, and will allow Pate to move a polling place in an emergency. Nursing home residents may receive ballots by mail rather than have them hand-delivered as required by state law. Also, county election boards may remove mail ballots from their outer envelope on the Saturday before Election Day to make tabulating them go faster on the day before Election Day, as state law allows. The Cass County Sheriff's Office is warning area residents of a phone scam that has been circulating through the area. In the scam, a number comes up on a person's caller ID as Cass County. Upon answering, the scammer will claim to have received a report of misuse of Social Security numbers and will proceed to ask for the last four digits of those numbers. Upon refusal, the scammer will try to say they'll have to put a warrant out for that person's arrest. Please be aware that this is a scam, and you, of course, should hang up on those individuals. The sheriff's office reminds residents that they would never cold call someone to ask for their Social Security or other personal information. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports a burglary occurred in Villisca overnight Thursday into Friday morning. An unknown person or persons made entry into a locked building in the East 200 block of 3rd Street in Villisca sometime between 7 p.m. Thursday and 7 a.m. Friday. Items valued at approximately $3,600 were stolen from the building. An investigation into that incident is ongoing. On Friday, Governor Reynolds signed a new proclamation continuing the public health disaster emergency. The proclamation extends the closures of bars and taverns, wineries, breweries, distilleries, nightclubs in Johnson and Story counties, where, of course, the two largest state universities reside, for an additional week. That'll be until 11:59 p.m. on October 4th that they'll still be shut down. They may continue to sell alcoholic beverages for consumption off-premises. Restaurants in those two counties are still permitted to remain open, but must stop selling and serving alcoholic beverages after 10 p.m. Restaurants in Johnson and Story counties, like bars and restaurants in all other counties, must also continue to follow other mitigation measures. That includes 6 feet of a physical distance between each group or individual dining or drinking. An Iowa teenager has been sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole for killing another teenager in 2019. The Des Moines Register reports that Eliazar Montoya Gama of West Des Moines was sentenced on Thursday after pleading guilty to first-degree murder in the death of 18-year-old Sakira Bonner. Dallas County Attorney Charles Sinnard says the judge's ruling allows Gama to be eligible for parole after serving 30 years in prison. Gama was 17 at the time of the crime. Had he been an adult, he would have been sentenced to life without parole. The harvest is underway this year, weeks ahead of last year, and a safety expert says that's important. Iowa State University professor Charles Schwab says rushing to get crops out of the fields creates more dangerous situations for farmers.
The window in which to get things done isn't as tight as it was last year, but I think what's happening is there's going to be more difficulty in how we approach it, especially if you have some of the corn that's laying down or parsley down. That's just going to create a different problem of harvesting.
And millions of acres of corn were knocked down or bent over by the August 10th derecho. Schwab says the earlier harvest gives more time to deal with that and other situations that arise.
The fact that we have time, that is helpful. In other words, we're not stressing about the time window in which to get it done before the first snow. And, you know, I say that and it's like, who can forecast what's going to be happening?
And Schwab says worrying about the timing of harvest can take a toll.
I don't think a lot of them realize that amount of stress that comes from that and how that stress impacts your body and how that impact in your body does things that put you at risk. And it's really it's a key element.
He says farmers need to eat right and get enough rest to stay healthy, and not having such a tight window to get the crops in should allow them to do that. A new report finds that Iowa has lost about half of its licensed child care centers during the COVID-19 pandemic. The report by the nonprofit Child Care Aware of America found the state's licensed child care centers dropped from nearly 1,600 in January to just over 800 in July. Spokeswoman Christina Haney says some closures may be temporary, while larger centers may be struggling with additional costs associated with new cleaning and child staff ratio requirements.
So like group sizes that used to be maybe 9 children per classroom has gone down to, you know, half that. But they can't let go of staff. And so they're paying the same number of staff, but serving fewer children.
The report found that in-home providers are faring much better during the pandemic. Their numbers stayed about the same from January to July, actually adding 4 programs during the time period. Haney says larger licensed centers may be struggling because they have more children and staff to manage.
So many parents might be working from home or they're unemployed. They might not be sending their children to childcare at this point. And so centers, if they don't have, you know, that many children, it's really not feasible for them to stay in business.
The report recommends investing more government support in childcare and providing more resources and support for families and providers. That's a look at some of the latest in state and area news. Now taking a look here at your funeral announcements here this morning. Boyd Ray Lutz, age 54, of Adair, died August 16th at his home. Graveside services for Boyd Ray Lutz will be held today at 10:30 a.m. in the Sunny Hill Cemetery in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care of Adair has arrangements. Judy Ann Bruce, age 75, of Dallas, Texas, formerly of Manila, died August 16th in Dallas. Memorial services for Judy Ann Bruce will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Historic Trinity Church in Manning Heritage Park in Manning. Odie Funeral Home Manning has the arrangements. Jeffrey McAvoy, age 58, of Harlan, died September 6th. Funeral services for Jeffrey McAvoy will be held here today at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Merle E. Vogt, age 91, of Adair, died Wednesday at his home. Funeral services for Merle E. Vogt will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care of Anita has the arrangements. Max DeWitt, age 90, of Casey, died Tuesday at the Guthrie County Hospital in Guthrie Center. A private family graveside service for Max DeWitt will be held Monday at the Dalmanutha Cemetery near Casey. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic is handling the arrangements. Paul C. Williams of Indianola, formerly of Rural Stewart, passed away on Thursday. Graveside memorial services for Paul C. Williams will be held on Saturday, October 3rd at 10 a.m. at the Fairview Cemetery in Rural Stewart. Memorial contributions may be directed to the Samaritan's Purse and or Freedom Fellowship Church of Indianola, and the Johnson Family Funeral Home has the arrangements. Mary Hanley, age 64, of Manning, died on Saturday at home. A celebration of life service for Mary Hanley will be held on Sunday, October the 11th, from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Kirchhoff Shelter House at the Trestle Park in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. And Byron L. Spillers, age 98, of Redfield, died Monday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Cremation has taken place, and a graveside service for Byron L. Spillers will be held at a later date. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in state and local news here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.